the Good Morning Texas Tech, everyone. It might be snowing outside, but it's April 10th. Yeah, that's why we won Worst Weather City in America. I'm Joshua Cook. Coming up on today's show, we're going to be talking about Relay for Life. So that should be exciting. And we're going to be talking about Relay for Life. And also, we got Todd Chambers coming in studio. And Kevin Wade, we've got a lot more exciting things going on.
Yes, we do, Josh. I'm Kevin Wade. And we have Todd Chambers as well as Courtney Russell, the coordinator for Relay for Life. And later, we are going to be talking to some members of the Lubbock Ballet. And in a second, we will throw it over to Kira Powell for news. But for the moment, we can talk about how ridiculous it is that it is snowing on April 10th.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's snowing today. You never expect to wake up in the middle of April to snow. That's definitely one thing you don't expect to happen.
Dude, but I already put away all my winter clothes and everything. I mean, I figured that it's April and we've already had a few great days that's 90 degrees outside. I went to the pool this weekend.
And now, but you know, the funny thing is you'll be able to get to go to the pool coming up this weekend as well. And also, talking about partying it up, Marissa Trevino, 21 today. Happy
Marissa.
Birthday. Big happy birthday
big
to
2-1.
MT.
And her big birthday gift is she's getting to sleep in this morning while we are all here.
Exactly.
Which is fantastic. Congratulations.
And she gets to go out and play in the snow. So it's going to be definitely interesting. With that, but you know, Relay for Life going on Saturday night at Memorial Circle. It's definitely an event to go out to. Everyone is affected some way by cancer. And now Kira Powell with news.
Good morning, I'm Kiara Powell with your KTXT News Update. Students from Texas Tech School of Law took home a big win this week at the American Bar Association's National Appellate Advocacy Competition. A team of three students helped the school clinch its 27th national championship in Chicago. That win marked Tech's fourth overall ABA championship and the third straight year they have claimed one of the top two American moot court contests. The chair of the House of Homeland Security Committee and a Texas senator have introduced a bill that would require the Department of Homeland Security to develop a national strategy plan to secure the border. Joey Palacios has more on this story.
The 90-day agreement will allow additional water from the San Rodrigo River to flow into the Rio Grande and be used by the two countries. The agreement comes a few weeks after several South Texas congressmen voiced grave concerns on water shortages. Commissioner Edward Drusinia with the International Boundary and Water Commission, which arbitrates water usage along the border, says more water is needed to address the water deficit in South Texas.
It demonstrates that Mexico, through cooperation, can take and is taking some positive steps. There's a lot more that is needed, but it is a good first step.
The new agreement also allows the usage of excess water from certain Mexican tributaries. Under a 1944 treaty that dictates water release, the U.S. is allowed to use one-third of the water in the Rio Grande. Mexico's proposal to build two new dams in the Conchos River Basin is raising concern for the commission on whether or not the country can fulfill its water obligations to the U.S. In San Antonio, Joey Palacios reporting.
Here's DG with a look at our weather.
Good morning. Your updated forecast for Lubbock and vicinity, a winter weather advisory in effect for portions of the South Plains this morning. Expecting a 20% chance of continued snow flurries throughout the Lubbock vicinity. No significant accumulations are expected. However, highs only in the upper 40s today and combined with northerly winds 15 to 20 miles per hour will make for some bitter wind chills. You'll definitely need a jacket as you head out this morning. Currently in Lubbock, light flurries, 25 degrees with a wind chill of 12.
Well, Welcome into Good Morning Texas Tech, everyone. Kira, are you with us?
I am with
There
that.
She is.
Oh my gosh, guys. Everybody needs to understand that it has been a very long 24 hours for me.
It has.
I forgot to turn my switch on, which is why you couldn't hear me.
Yeah, which was fabulous.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Usually the opening goes, I do my little bit, and then Kira does hers, and then Kevin does his. And Kevin and I got to have a great conversation about the snow and how we're going to make snow angels later.
It was really awkward.
Kira is looking at me, freaking out. And DG walks in there and goes, did you flip your switch also? And there it is.
I'm here.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We need to resupply the coffee in the studio, that's for sure. But hey, you know what? We're all here. We're all present and accounted for now.
I have an exciting story to talk about.
You do.
I do. Swatting. Anybody know what that is? Because I did not.
DG believes it's hitting someone in the back of the head. That is his...
Nope. Not quite. Close, but no cigar.
Okay.
Swatting is actually when someone calls the police, and it's been primarily in Hollywood on a star's home, saying that there's an emergency. And so they call the SWAT team to come out, and there's nothing there.
Why would you do that? What's the point?
Good question. It's kind of like planking. Why would you do that?
Okay, planking's awesome. You can get those awesome pictures and you plank. I planked on top of a deer statue between the horns. That is awesome.
Ouch. I'm going to start something new. It's called sitting.
Okay.
Everyone should try it. It's my thing. I like it.
I just don't see the point. Well, I mean... Why would you do something? I mean, planking can't really get you that much in trouble unless you do it somewhere that you maybe could die, like a train track or something like that.
Over the side of the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, something like that. But this just sounds like somebody was wanting to prank some stars and they took it a little far. And
Russell Brand has actually been the last person that we know of that has had this done to him.
That's the last person you want to prank.
Is it one person doing it?
They have not caught it.
Oh.
Not this person. So
caught it. It isn't it.
As far as I'm concerned, if you're calling the SWAT team, you are an it. You are not a man or a woman. You're just a crazy
All right.
person.
Well, apparently, last week there was a bunch of controversy because Jay-Z and Beyonce decided to travel to Cuba. People were just up in arms about this. But late on Tuesday, the Treasury Department confirmed that the trip was organized by a federally authorized group.
Because you have to have a special permit to go there?
Yeah.
Well, it says it has to be, you know, under this, like, approved people-to-people cultural tour. So I feel like that all that is for them is they're just disguising their anniversary as a humanitarian mission because they're Beyonce and Jay-Z.
I mean, I've never been to Cuba. But if I was going to go celebrate a holiday, I'm not sure that that would be my first.
Well, here's the thing. They weren't celebrating a holiday. They were celebrating their fifth wedding anniversary in Havana. And
that's not a holiday?
They are the highest profile American celebrities to visit the island in recent years. So next tourism video for Cuba, you're going to see Jay-Z and Beyonce in it. Come to Cuba, where Jay-Z and Beyonce like to spend their anniversaries.
Away.
Yes.
I like it.
So we're going to take a break here. We're going to bring some new music. It's Spinoza by The Generationals. We'll be back with more Good Morning Texas Tech right after this on KTXT The Raider 88.1 and also on TheRaider881.com.
Doesn't matter. Good night, remember. Just rolling through the streets of Lubbock, keeping us safe, and listening to KTXT, The Raider 88.1. I've never listened to anything else, and I'll never have to.
I'll never let go, Jack. I'll never let go.
Rose wouldn't have had to let go if she'd only listened to KTXT's winter weather alerts with up-to-date emergency weather conditions on the air, Twitter, and Facebook. KTXT Weather will never let you go.
This is Chino Chapa, class of 1981, and I love to listen to 88.1 The Raider when I'm in Lubbock.
Spring severe weather season is quickly approaching. When the skies go dark, know when to go, where to go, and how to keep yourself safe during severe and hazardous weather by listening to KTXTFM's accurate and dependable severe weather updates. Follow us on Twitter at TheRaider881, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheRaider881, or listen to us on air at 88.1 KTXTFM. We will help you weather the storm.
Welcome back into Good Morning Texas Tech, everyone. Josh Cook alongside Kevin Wade, Garrett Powell, Christine Copeland across the way pushing all the buttons to make us sound wonderful in a beautiful morning in Lubbock, Texas. Current weather conditions outside, light snow, 23 degrees with a wind chill of 12.
So miserable. That's all I can think right now.
And you know, if you want to stay at home inside and you don't have a radio for some reason, you can log on to your computer. You can go to...
If they don't have a radio, they can't hear this right now.
Well, fine. You can go to Raider881.com and listen to the stream online. And you can even listen to the stream online in Dallas, Texas. That's where you... And the weather's fine there because I'm getting weather reports from a very good source in Dallas. That's all I'm saying.
Is this source a lady?
But yes, yes.
Okay.
And she's at work right now, and she probably has an earbud in, so.
Well, that's good.
You know.
I'm glad. She's tuned in.
She is tuned
in. Hi, Brittany. Glad you're here.
Yep. So, moving on to more important, well, no, that was a pretty important shout out.
I'll give it. Don't dig yourself
in trouble. Don't get yourself in trouble,
I'm in trouble now. Mm-hmm. I'm in trouble.
We have a package.
We do.
That has something to do with Relay for Life, which is about raising money and awareness for cancer. And our very own Christine Copeland has put together something very special, tips on how to prevent cancer.
You can't touch this.
Reader's Digest suggested 31 simple ways to prevent cancer. Supposedly these work. Here are a few. Serve sauerkraut at your next picnic. Add garlic to everything you eat. Coat barbecue food with a thick sauce, and stop by the kitchen or water cooler for a glass of water every time you go to the bathroom. Take up a tea habit. Have a beer tonight. Get about 15 minutes of sunlight on your skin each day, cause you're not a vampire like the guys in Twilight. Carry a shot glass in your beach bag. Have your partner feed you grapes, and learn to love dandelions. Buy clothes that don't need to be dry cleaned. Choose cucumbers over pickles. Switch from French fries and potato chips to mashed potatoes and pretzels. Go for a spray-on tan and call up your bowling pal and hit the lanes. For more information on how the tips suggested by Reader's Digest can help prevent cancer, go to rd.com and search for 31 simple ways to prevent cancer. For KTXT, this is Christine Copeland.
I'm not going to lie, Christine. Some of those sounded a little bit made up.
Christine, I think you just went on. I just don't even think you went online and looked that stuff up. I think you just thought, what are the funniest things I can put on here? Hey, let's eat cucumbers instead of pickles. By the way, no.
Garlic
and I'm
on
gonna
everything.
Keep eating french fries.
That's a good way to get a date.
Spray
well,
tan.
You know. Spray tan with garlic scent.
And why go bowling? How is that going to prevent cancer?
You have to go online and look it up. That's the incentive.
That
there.
Requires me
go
to do work,
figure it
Kira.
Out for yourself. We do have a little trivia game that I will be conducting.
Ooh.
And you boys will be competing against one another to see how much you know about cancer.
I lost the last trivia game, and that was a Women's History
Maybe
Month.
Maybe you can redeem yourself.
Hopefully. I'm 0-1 this season.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Do we have some music? Maybe. Okay, if not.
All right.
Cancer is the second leading cause of death globally. True or false?
True.
True.
You are both correct.
I said it first.
Take your point. Write it down because I don't have a pen. Number two, the spreading of cancer across the body is called A, osmosis, B, metastasis.
I'm pretty sure osmosis is like from plants and
junk. I'm going to go B.
We're going to go B.
Osmosis. I didn't. This is Christine again. So
Christine, stop making stuff up.
Don't look at me. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, no. She's just pointing at Bianca. Christine, don't put the responsibility on Bianca.
Bianca, is that wrong? Did you just tell me the wrong answer? Okay. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Anyway.
Apparently, is it osmosis?
That's what it says.
That doesn't sound right.
Look it up.
Okay, moving on.
Whatever. Which of the following cancers are associated with smoking? A, head and neck cancer. B, bladder cancer. C, lung cancer. Or D, all of the above.
I know there's such thing as bladder cancer.
There probably is.
I'm going to go with the bottom one, all of the above.
I'm going to go C.
Kevin, you take this round.
Yes, sir.
What is the U.S. state with the lowest incident of cancer? A, Minnesota. B, Utah. C, Iowa. Or D, Arizona.
I'd go Minnesota.
I'm going to go Utah.
Kevin, you are a cancer knowledge fool.
Yeah, I am.
How many people die of lung cancer annually in the U.S.? A, 160,000, 100,000, or 50,000?
I'm going to go with 100,000, the middle one, straight up.
I'm going to go with the same answer.
Well, you're both wrong. So I tricked you.
I knew you'd follow me.
Which of the following celebrities did not die of cancer? A, George Harrison. B, Mickey Mantle. C, Steve McQueen. D, Peter Sellers.
I have no idea. Did not die of cancer. So three out of the four of those died of cancer.
Yes.
That's depressing. I'm going to go Steve McQueen.
I'm going to go Mickey Mantle.
You're both wrong again. Peter Sellers.
Oh, I don't know who that is. Who is that?
You know what? This is just opening your eyes to new and wonderful things.
All right.
You should go and look up. For which of the following cancers is screening of the general population currently recommended? A, lung cancer. B, colon cancer. C, prostate cancer.
I'm going to go with prostate cancer.
Yeah, I'll go with that too.
No. Lung cancer, actually. Prostate cancer is closer
to our hearts over here.
I'm so glad.
That's
cancer-related deaths would drop by one half if people did not smoke. True or false?
I'm going to go with true.
I'm going to go with true.
False. Somebody should have gotten
we're
one.
We're failing
of,
right
yes,
now.
Yes, don't well, go with each well, Kevin's other. That's
ready,
a bad
Kevin's ready notched this victory today, so.
So now you're 0-2. And yep. I'm awesome.
Oh, Peter Sellers, I'll answer your question for you.
Oh, thank you.
He's a British film actor, comedian, and singer. Played Inspector Clouseau in The Pink Panther.
Oh, that dude. That guy. All right, okay. I got you.
A lump in the breast is always almost cancer. A, true. B, false.
B, false.
False.
You are correct.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that Kevin won this little challenge.
Yeah, I'm thinking so.
I think and I swept you on that.
Yeah, I'm 0-2.
You know what? For you to be the sports guy, I feel like the competitive nature is just not there, Josh. And I'm kind of hurting in my heart.
It's too early. He's in a suit. He's not in that mood today.
No, I haven't turned the game face on yet. It's not that time of the day. You got to be careful when you bring the game face out.
Does it resemble Hulk?
No. I'd like to keep my clothes in one piece. I can't afford that.
I didn't even mention
most expensive superpower.
Didn't even talk about that.
That actually is true. I mean, he always rips his clothes. I mean, you got to think.
What if he's wearing nice stuff? Like, if Hulk was like a classy dude, or like, I don't know, like Versace, is that one?
Just don't make him angry. I mean, if you start feeling like you're getting angry and you got good clothes on, you better... start. I don't know
where you're going with this, and I'm
I know where he's going.
Let's keep it PG. PG, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. have either of you had people in your family affected by cancer?
I actually have not. My family's been very, very fortunate with that.
Yeah, I think my aunt has cancer, and she's working through that right now. I couldn't tell you what exact cancer it is. It's one of those ones that's kind of off the beaten path. So I
think it's odd that it's so much more common than you realize. You don't think about it. My mom had cancer. My roommate's father had cancer, and my aunt battled breast cancer. So something to think about.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Courtney Russell in the studio to talk about Relay for Life. You're listening to Good Morning Texas Tech Sports Update. Coming up next. With your KTXT Sports Update, I'm Joshua Cook. Texas Tech baseball was back on the diamond on Tuesday following a series sweep by the Wildcats. Tech facing Dallas Baptist in Dallas. Tech pushing across 9 runs in a single inning, but not anymore. And it would not be enough as Dallas Baptist scores 10, securing the one-run win. Red Raiders fall to 17-18 overall in the 2013 season. Tech is back in action on Sunday, facing crosstown foe Lubbock Christian. After the Louisville men's basketball team cut down the nets on Monday night, winning their first national championship since 1986. The Louisville women's team tried to follow suit on Tuesday night. The Cardinals taking on the Huskies in the title game, and this one was all UConn. Huskies blew out the Cardinals 93-60, winning the program's 8th national championship, then tying an NCAA record with 8 national titles. Keeping with the titles, has been 19 years since the New York Knicks have won a division title, but that streak snapped on Tuesday night. Carmelo Anthony and the Knicks beating the Washington Wizards 120-99, clinching the franchise's first Atlantic division title since 1994. In other NBA news, college basketball players are starting to make their decision to stay another year or go pro, and the national champion Cardinals have already lost a player. Junior Russ Smith has decided to forego his senior season at Louisville to enter the NBA draft, according to ESPN.com. In Major League Baseball, the Rangers beat the Rays 6-1, improving to 6-2 this season, while the Astros pounded the Mariners 16-9, snapping a 6-game losing streak. In the NBA, the Rockets beat the Suns 101-98. This has been your KTXT Sports Update. I'm Joshua Cook. Now back to Good Morning Texas Tech. Welcome back into Good Morning Texas Tech, everyone. I'm Joshua Cook, joined by Kevin Wade, Kira Powell across the way, and we are now joined in the studio by Courtney Russell, coordinator for Relay for Life of Texas Tech. Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Talk about Relay for Life Texas Tech. It's an event that happens every year, and last year happened Memorial Circle and back out there again this year.
Yes, sir. It's Saturday, this Saturday at 7 p.m. Last year we kind of had the rain, so we, had to make do. So this year we have like a backup plan for just in case that happens again. It's just basically a way to come out and raise money. There's going to be bands and entertainment and activities and things going on for everyone to participate in. It's going to be really fun, so we suggest that everyone comes out.
How can people that maybe aren't a part of a team yet or, haven't been raising money for, how can they help out and come out and help fight cancer on Saturday night?
Anyone can come. It's basically you guys can just come up. You can sign up on relayforlife.org /TexasTechTX. You can sign up as an individual or you can just come, and people will be selling on-site fundraisers like water, food, like bracelets. Last year, someone had these really cool bracelets. Someone's doing henna, and then you just buy those, and in the end of the night, all the money goes towards the American Cancer Society.
How did Relay for Life come into being?
Relay for Life was started by a doctor who just didn't see enough fundraising for cancer. And so what he decided to do was that for 12 hours, I think he actually did it for maybe for 24, but don't quote me on that. He walked around the track, and then he ended up making like a whole lot of money. And, you know, he was actually just recently diagnosed with cancer, so it's really close to his heart, and it just grew from there. I mean, it's huge now.
Well, that's cool. I mean, it says here that worldwide, 4 million people in 20 countries do this relay. How many people are we expecting to come out?
I think last year we had around 13,000.
Wow.
We're hoping maybe around there again. It'd be just the more, the merrier. We just want anyone to just stop by. It doesn't matter how long you come. Just come and support.
What's this been like, kind of coordinating this whole thing, bringing it all together? When did you start working on it? Is a year-long planning process to get this going? What all goes into getting it ready?
It's year-long. I'm actually I have another co-chair. He's just in class right now. And then there's a staff partner above us who works at the ACS, and we have a great executive committee, and you just assign each person has, like, one person has in charge of the teams, and then one person's in charge of the entertainment and the bands, and we've all just been working really hard, and we hope it goes over really smoothly this Saturday.
What are some of the ways you guys recruit teams?
Obviously, we go towards the campus organizations, and we go and we worked with a sub to get the list of campus organizations, and then we just email the crap out of them until they decide to show up to a Teams meeting.
Persistence pays off.
Yes, yes.
Now, according to the event page on the Relay for Life website, there's around 60 teams that are signed up, 973 participants. Of course, more will show up than that. But I think the number that is most thrilling is that, now this does not reflect all donations, of course, as of right now, but $30,513.60 have been raised already for this event. What does that mean to you that people, even in this economy and everything, are still able to give like that to a cause like this?
Yes, it means so much. I mean, everyone's affected by cancer in some way or another, and just having that, even especially since we're college students and not everyone has a lot of money, it's just amazing that everyone can get together and raise all this money for such a good cause.
All right. Well, we appreciate the time. We've been talking to Courtney Russell, who's been helping put together Relay for Life. Relay for Life on Saturday night. Thanks so much. We'll see you out at Memorial Circle.
See you.
We'll be back on Good Morning Texas Tech right after this break on KTXT, the Raider 88.1, and also on the Raider 88.1.com.
Good morning, I'm Kiera Powell with a look at your KTXT news update. The chair of the House of Homeland Security Committee and a Texas senator have introduced a bill that would require the Department of Homeland Security to develop a national strategy plan to secure the border. Joy Pelosius has more on this story.
Good morning. Your updated forecast for Lubbock and vicinity, a winter weather advisory in effect for portions of the South Plains this morning.
The 90-day agreement will allow additional water from the San Rodrigo River to flow into the Rio Grande and be used by the two countries. The agreement comes a few weeks after several South Texas congressmen voiced grave concerns on water shortages. Commissioner Edward Drusinia with the International Boundary and Water Commission, which arbitrates water usage along the border, says more water is needed to address the water deficit in South Texas.
It demonstrates that Mexico, through cooperation, can take and is taking some positive steps. There's a lot more that is needed, but it is a good first step.
The new agreement also allows the usage of excess water from certain Mexican tributaries. Under a 1944 treaty that dictates water release, the U.S. is allowed to use one-third of the water in the Rio Grande. Mexico's proposal to build two new dams in the Conchos River Basin is raising concern for the Commission on whether or not the country can fulfill its water obligations to the U.S. In San Antonio, Joey Palacios reporting.
Good morning. Your updated forecast for Lubbock and vicinity, a winter weather advisory.
And now we're going to head back to Good Morning Texas Tech.
Welcome back into Good Morning Texas Tech. Apologize for the technical difficulties we're having this morning, but we're now joined in the studio by Dr. Todd Chambers. Thank you so much for joining us this morning in studio.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thanks for the invitation.
Relay for Life is coming up on Saturday, and if anybody is friends with Dr. Chambers on Facebook, you've been seeing all week long the posts, and we know that this event holds a near and dear place in your heart, and congratulations on 8 years since radiation treatment. What does this event mean to you? What did it mean to you before you were diagnosed, and what did it mean to you after you got diagnosed?
Kind of a easy answer: nothing and then everything. And I didn't know about Relay for Life until I was diagnosed. And in fact, I didn't even know about, I knew about the American Cancer Society, but I didn't know about Relay for Life. I was diagnosed the day before Thanksgiving of 2004, mm-hmm. With squamous cell carcinoma at the base of the tongue. It was stage 4, and an answer to your osmosis, metastasis question, it's metastasized. So basically my cancer had spread into the lymph nodes on both sides of my neck. And, so I got to undergo the trifecta of chemotherapy, head and neck radiation, and then a neck dissection. When I found out about Relay for Life, we were actually moving back from Houston. I had to take 2 months to live down in Houston, my wife and kids and I. And I heard that there was going to be a Relay for Life event in Lubbock that weekend. And I said, I'm just too tired. And then my wife got involved in the summer. I didn't want anything to do with it, because I was like, I'm not a survivor yet. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, all the docs tell you, you got to be 5 years out before you can be labeled as a survivor. And but one day our kids were sick, and there was a meeting that Barbie needed to go to, and she couldn't go. And I went, and I walked into the room, and there was hope on banners everywhere. And there was a lady who's a friend of mine now, who's a survivor. And she said, hey, how many survivors are here today? And I sort of sat there and I looked around. A few people stood up, and then she said, if you were still standing a minute after someone told you you had cancer, you are a survivor. And so since that time, Relay for Life has meant everything to me. It has been so important to me and my family. The first time that I actually was able to participate in a Relay for Life event was the Texas Tech Relay back in 2006. And they invited my wife and I to come talk at what's now called the Ceremony of Hope. It's the Luminary Ceremony, and it was just a special event. And since then, I've been involved and gone all in. So Relay has been very important to me and my family.
I know around this time of the year, you see the pictures of people standing there with the chalkboard, and I know Cliff Kingsbury's pictures now on the main relay, and his says, I relay for my mom, and yours says, I relay for my kids.
That's right.
What does that mean to you when you look at the picture every day during this and it says, I relay for my kids?
Well, it's funny. Alexandra Pedrini, who she's headed up that, she came up with that concept last year, and I had my profile picture set, and it still had last year's date, so she shipped me an updated picture, which is with the correct date on it, but I've kept that up a year now, and I relay for life for my kids, because one of the things that we do know, I've got two girls, they were, when I was diagnosed, they were 5 and 1 at the time, mm-hmm. And one of the first things that I thought of the moment after that doctor called me and told me I had cancer, I said, what have I done to my girls? What have I passed on to my girls? And the only way, I'm not a scientist. Mm-hmm. I'm not a person who's going to find the actual cure for cancer. But the reason I do Relay for Life, and the reason I stand there and I have a sign, a chalkboard that says I relay for my kids, is because I don't want Emily or Macy to ever hear the words, you've got cancer. And they already stand, because they're girls, they already stand in 1 in 3 chance in their lifetime to get a diagnosis of cancer. And that's the shocking fact. In men, it's 1 in 4. But for women, it's 1 in 3. And so the only way I know how to fight back is to go out and tell people about Relay for Life. And that's why I do it. I do it for my two daughters.
Well, I have no idea that the odds were that high there. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. That opened something up for me. I mean, so this weekend, like, what are you going to be doing, and what do you do just like without like outside of Relay for Life to just keep people interested, keep people knowing about cancer, to educate people about cancer?
Well, it's one of those things that, unfortunately, I wake up and I think about cancer every day, and I don't ever want to. The treatment sucked. In fact, the T-shirt I'm wearing right now, it says cancer sucks. And the reality is that I will always be saddled with that. Every night I have to put in, because of my radiation, I lost 75% of my saliva in my mouth. So if you ever see me, I'm the guy that always walks around with a water bottle in his back pocket. And the reason I do that is not to be goofy, but it's to, I have to always keep a bottle of water handy because my mouth gets dry really quick. And but every night I have to put in these things called fluoride trays because they told me that because of the radiation fields in my head and neck area, that, you know, if I were to ever get like anything wrong with if I get an infection in my gums or my teeth, I could possibly lose my jaw. And so that's why I have to keep fluoride in. But every day I think about Relay for Life. And what I try to do is I've been involved with Relay. I've been involved, you know, we've got the Lubbock County Relay for Life coming up in about a month. So I try to stay involved as much as I can. This year I'm really focusing on just going out and talking and telling the Relay for Life story. But I've been able to travel all throughout our panhandle region of Texas. I've talked to everything from a committee meeting to Relay for Life events in communities as far north as Borger, Texas, as far south as Denver City, and as far east is Wichita Falls. And I just want to tell the story because it's important. And like I said, the only way that I know how to fight back is really just to tell the Relay for Life story and tell how important it is, because 1.6 million Americans will be diagnosed this year alone. And about 577,000 people will die this year because of cancer. And the good thing is that one of the great things, because of the money that's raised by Relay for Life events, is that we are able to basically fund research. And so what we see is that we see the diminishing rate of people dying from cancer, but still there's still more and more people getting diagnosed.
Talking right now with Dr. Todd Chambers in the College of Meeting and Communication. How this tech event seems like mm-hmm. it's growing more and more and more each year. I know the weather kind of threw a fit last year at Memorial Circle, and right now it's throwing a fit outside with the snow. But what does it mean to you to see so many students and so many, you know, faculty members that may or may not be affected by cancer, but they're taking time out of their Saturday evenings, their Saturday nights, their Sunday mornings to come out and support an event like this?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I did not, like I said, until my cancer diagnosis, I didn't know about Relay for mm-hmm. Life. What I've learned is that the Texas Tech Relay for Life was the first Relay for Life at a college or university in the state of Texas. And the reality is that it's got a reputation. And we were the first. We were the leaders, basically, in the state of Texas here at Texas Tech. But Josh, you know, kind of to answer your question, it's humbling because there are students, current students in our building. There are current majors in the College of Media and Communication that are fighting the fight. I'll never forget that my first summer back after treatment, I was teaching a second summer class, and got an email from a student, and she said, "Hey, I'm gonna miss the first day. Hope you don't mind." And she told me that she came the next day, and she goes, "I apologize." She goes, "But I had to go get some cosmetic surgery done." And I was like, "Really?" And what had happened, she had had breast cancer and she had had reconstruction surgery. And basically something happened in the reconstruction, so she had to go get that fixed. And the thing about this student was she never missed another day of class. And also during that summer, there was a student who a year earlier had gone through the treatment for testicular cancer. And I'll never forget those two because it was the moment I was like, "Are you kidding me?" And so it's not just about, you know, me or you giving up part of your part of a weekend, because there's a real reason for it, because there are students that are fighting this fight. And unfortunately, most of us have a cancer story. Most of us have a parent, a sibling, an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent that's fought the fight. And just to be able to go walk and just talk about it and create awareness and hopefully raise some money, because we're close, but we got to do it. We got to make it matter this year. And I think that's what's so important this year about this Relay for Life is that we're not guaranteed a tomorrow. We can't live in the past, but we can do something about it today.
Relay for Life is one of those events that seems to draw people in across from, you know, different, you know, religions, everything along the lines like that. Whenever you see another survivor out at Relay for Life or someone that's battling cancer, how is it now? Do y'all relate? Do y'all tell stories about what y'all went through and stuff like that? Or how does that go out at Relay for Life?
Yeah, it does. We 7 o'clock, when you come out there, if you've never been to a Relay for Life event, the very first thing that happens after the opening, hey, welcome to the Relay for Life of Texas Tech, survivors will take the first lap. And that's our celebrate ceremony. And we want to celebrate survivorship, and we want to celebrate that. And during that time, I've met faculty members, I've met fellow staff members, I've met students on that walk. And sometimes we talk about it, but usually it's a celebration time. And, you know, and then we go through, you do some activities, your caregiver comes, walks the second lap with you, and that's to me, that's very special, because my caregivers, you know, my family, my wife, Barbie, and our two daughters, it's just so special. It's very emotional, you know, because it sucks to be a cancer patient and to go through treatment, but I cannot imagine what it's like to be the caregiver to watch that. A dear friend of mine, when I was wrapping up my treatment, and she's got two daughters, same age as ours, and the story that she tells about June morning, and she left the hospital bed of her husband who had just passed away, and she had to go drive as the sun was coming up. And she had to shake her 6 and 2-year-old at the time up and said, "Daddy's not coming home." And to hear those types of stories, that's what, to me, is why we're doing this. Because I'm very blessed. I'm very blessed to be here at this moment. I don't want to take it for granted. But the reality is that those are the stories that you remember. And anyway, I think it's very important that we stay focused. The cool thing is this year I'll also be talking at, we have a ceremony of hope that'll come where we light the luminary bags in honor of those that have lost their battle. And then I'll be talking at what's called our fight back ceremony. And I love doing fight back because I'm able to say, here's my story, a little bit of my story, but here are the reasons why we do it. And I don't want anybody else to hear the words, "You've got cancer."
All right, well, we appreciate the time, Dr. Chambers. Don't forget Relay for Life Saturday night out at Memorial Circle. We'll see you there. KTXT will be out there as well, walking to fight the fight against cancer. Good morning, Texas Tech, coming back right after this, also on theRaider881.com.
Thanks.
I'm not going there to die. I'm going to find out if I'm really alive.
Sounds of Cinema, Mondays at 4 p.m.
Never seen a blue sky. Yeah, I can feel it reaching out.
closer.
Welcome back into Good Morning Texas Tech, everyone. You can join the conversation on Twitter at TheRaider881 or also on Facebook.com. You can also listen to us online, TheRaider881.com. Josh Cook alongside Kevin Wade. Big thanks once again to Dr. Todd Chambers on joining us in studio to talk about Relay for Life. Now, kind of switching gears to something else that's happening this weekend. It'll be happening Friday and Saturday night at the Lubbock Civic Center. It'll be Music in Motion. We got to speak to David Cho, the director of music of the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra, on Monday, and now we get to speak to Yvonne Rotsky, the artistic director of Ballet Lubbock, today, because the orchestra and the ballet will be working together on Saturday. Thank you so much for coming in studio this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about Music in Motion, how that idea came about, and how excited are you for it?
Very excited. For a dance, it's extremely rare when you get to perform with a live orchestra just because of cost and scheduling, so we're really lucky that we get to do this combined performance with them. And we talked about it last spring and then started communicating over the summer to make it happen, and it just worked with the Arts Festival, and here we are.
Now, I believe David said on Monday, I think y'all start rehearsing tonight at some point?
We the dancers, have been in the theater rehearsing all week, but yes, tonight's our first rehearsal with the symphony, so it's a big one.
Are you a little on edge, a little nervous about how it's all going to come together, or?
I think we all are. The pieces are not easy. They're very difficult, and we haven't heard the orchestra yet, but I know with David in the lead, it'll be fantastic. And he's come to our rehearsals to watch, and and we've been really lucky. He's been so open working with us. So I'm excited for it, if anything.
Now, if you haven't been to the Civic Center, it's a beautiful facility to go watch a performance at. How logistically are y'all doing it? Because I know the orchestra sometimes takes up the entire stage. How are y'all doing it to have the ballet and the orchestra on the same stage?
Yeah, it is difficult. The first half is the symphony on stage as if it's one of their own concerts, and they have their shell for the acoustics. And then during the intermission, we'll have a crew of superheroes taking that shell down as fast as they can so that the orchestra can go into the pit and the dancers will be on stage because we can't fit both of us on there.
Okay, so just like you would see in a play or something, the orchestra down in the pit and then the
like in our
on
Nutcracker
stage.
When they're in the pit.
Okay.
Yes.
So it'll be an interesting intermission to watch to see everything moving around.
Correct.
How much we had talked to this about with David on Monday, how much pressure is it to come together just a few days before the first opening night and y'all have to just kind of bring it all together?
That's just a matter of trust. We trust them to do their rehearsing and we do our own rehearsing. So that's how it works in dance. You usually don't get more than one or two rehearsals with the orchestra anyway. So he was kind enough to give me a recording that he's going to keep as close to the tempo as possible and that we've been rehearsing with. So it should be okay. I'm not worried about it.
Tell us a little more about Ballet Lubbock and what y'all do. I know this is the first time that y'all are working with the orchestra, but I'm guessing there's other performances that y'all have year-round.
Oh, yeah, and we've worked with the orchestra before. Our own Nutcracker Orchestra have lots of LSO members in it. We do the Nutcracker performance in the December. We have our own gala performance in September, and then we have our spring performance. Last year, we did Cinderella at the Arts Festival. This year, we're doing this mixture of concert, which is more modern neoclassical work. And next year, we're going to do Coppelia. It's a classical comedy ballet. So we perform all year round, and it's a school. It's an established school that we have from three-year-olds and up, and the company are the ones who do the most advanced dance.
All right, so you're going to see some orchestra and some ballet all in one, kind of a two-for-one performance this weekend. What can you tell people about what they should expect? I know I'm planning on coming out on Saturday evening.
It's going to be exciting. They're playing Beethoven in the first half, the symphony is, and then the second half will be Corelli, which is a piece that Elizabeth Gillespie, who's actually a Lubbock native and on the TCU faculty, she came in to guest choreograph a piece on our company. The second dance is a solo to the Dying Swan music that actually I'm going to perform that Elizabeth set on me. And then the third piece is the longest piece. It's Bartók's Divertimento for Strings, and that's the big finale piece. So they'll see everything pretty much. You're going to get everything.
Speaking right now with Yvonne Rotsky, the artistic director of Ballet Lubbock. I don't know if it'll affect the ballet, but I know that yesterday Lubbock City Council had approved an $85 million new performing arts center here in Lubbock that they're going to start working on. How exciting is that to maybe have a new home to go perform in here in the Hub City?
Phenomenally exciting. Long overdue. We are ecstatic and are willing and able to do anything we can to help it get going.
Now, for ticket-wise, are there still seats available for this event on Friday and Saturday?
Yes, they are. They can go to the LSO website, and they can purchase online or call the office, go to select a seat, and they're there.
All righty. So it'll be the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra and Ballet Lubbock performing in Music in Motion on Saturday night. Now, if anyone in Lubbock that doesn't know about Ballet Lubbock, it's for three-year-olds to...
Yes,
up.
We have a school. Our website is balletlubbock.org, and we have a school that's established curriculum, and we start with the three-year-olds. We also have adult and teen ballet classes and jazz and hip-hop and modern. And it's an established school where you have levels, and they levels one and up perform in the Nutcracker each year. And then they all have a school performance at the end of the year. And it's an excellent school, and we have dancers going on to professional companies and then excelling everywhere in every aspect. So, and the performance is also Friday night.
Okay, so Friday and Saturday night, both current times at 7:30 p.m. in the Lubbock Civic Center. I think David Cho had said something about students can get $5 tickets at the door.
Yes,
like 5 minutes
I believe
beforehand.
So. LSO has a student rush ticket price.
All right, so neat deal going on over there at the Lubbock Civic Center. So you can go catch the ballet and the orchestra and then go out to Relay for Life and walk away the rest of the night, at least on Saturday night.
Yes.
All right, well, we appreciate the time. We've been speaking with Yvonne Ratzke, the artistic director of Ballet Lubbock, as we will be sending it to a break here on Good Morning Texas Tech and also on the Raider881.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good Morning Texas Tech. We've just finished up with Yvonne from Ballet Lubbock. Very interesting interview. You guys need to make sure that you go out and see their performance this weekend. And if you want to hang out with the KTXT crew, you should come out to Relay for Life because we will be there all night Saturday.
All night long.
Yep.
I think I'm taking a 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. shift.
Is that what you're doing?
Good luck.
That's what I decided to do. I told Marissa that I was gonna get in on it.
So Kevin will be out there making breakfast for everyone. Is that what you're saying?
Hey, I'll make breakfast. It means I get to make food. It'll be good. I'll bring a big old skillet out there, cook up some breakfast burritos, and it'll be delicious.
You will be the most popular person.
I know, see?
Life.
Don't make promises you can't keep, Kevin.
I don't, Kira.
I think he just did.
I don't,
he
Kira.
Just, he. You better bring some burritos, then. They better be...
You will have an X on your back, little buddy. So congratulations.
A lot of exciting stuff going on in Lubbock this weekend. You got Relay for Life Saturday night. You got Lubbock Symphony Orchestra and Ballet working together Friday and Saturday night. Tech softball actually going on this weekend as well. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, taking on number one Oklahoma.
It's an exciting weekend, and that's going to be a great game.
It'll be a great series. Hopefully Tech can, you know, get a win this weekend and, you know, surprise a few people and beat Oklahoma. And then, of course, Friday night, under the Friday night lights, got Tech football practice that people can go watch.
This is going to be a good weekend if the weather cooperates and doesn't snow.
in April.
And if it does, you can stay home. Feel free and snuggle up next
and listen
to your television.
The Raider.
And we'll listen to the Raider, too. Yes. I was definitely going to say that. I was not going to say watch TV. Not at all.
Don't watch TV. Radio has so much more substance to it.
Oh, and we don't want to forget about the Career Expo happening today at the Fraser Pavilion. Derek gave us some tips on Monday's show on how to dress and how to come prepared to get a job, get an internship.
Josh took those to heart. He is dressed up beautifully.
Derek said I did good. So I get a donut.
If you need money, you need some experience, you don't want to miss that. It's going to be a lot of fun, I think. I hope to get something good out of it.
I hope so, because what people don't know is that Kier and I were up here until about 3 in the morning working on our radio demos.
Woo!
And he was even up here this morning while we were supposed to be preparing for the show working on his radio.
No,
I don't want to forget about the Devil's Advocate tonight at 5 right here on the Raider. That also is happening.
Yeah.
So much happening.
Dr. K and Anthony Hall bringing you the latest in the political world. So you gotta tune in at 5 for that. Then Red Raider Rundown tomorrow at 5 as well. Then softball at 6:30 on Friday.
There's just tons of stuff.
Then this Flashback Friday
right here on the Raider. So you just need to keep it here all day long.
Keep it locked
to
the left.
You don't wanna miss out.
All the time.
Little buddies. I don't know why I was gonna say that.
We appreciate everyone tuning in, either on the radio or online. We'll be back Monday morning with more Good Morning Texas Tech. Have a great, safe day, everyone, and have a great weekend.